Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Listen, we got the Patreon program going.
Today is the worst day of your life.
It is today. Today is most assuredly.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life? Yeah.
Because I had my friend Matt, and he helped me with audio last night for like 90 minutes, and we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, and we were so excited when we got it to like a B-minus level, and Matt's like, you could do the show tomorrow, and then I'll listen to it, and we'll fix whatever's wrong. And it was such a disaster in the pre-show today that I went back to the old original headset before I bought all the equipment. That's how bad. Dave and Andrew were like, oh my god, that's the worst fucking sound I've ever heard. And we're back to the original $9 headset.
You actually sound pretty good right now.
It's amazing.
And we'll see how it goes on the recording. But
so I wanted to mention to people, we're doing something new. We got the Patreon program set up where if you donate a dollar, you get all the quick shots that me and Andrew do. You get all the 2019 drunk histories that we're going to do in 2019. We're going to have six of them scheduled. And you're going to get, if we raise to $300 level, you get the extra full podcast that me and Andrew will do during the week. So donate a freaking dollar a month and get the quick shot and the extra podcast. It's well worth it. And eventually we'll have B-minus audio.
You don't get the quick shots anymore if you don't donate.
That's yeah. So we're doing
for patrons only.
Yes. A dollar. That's all we want is a dollar. So
it's a buck.
It's a buck. So Andrew, the Saints actually made some news. They cut Brandon Coleman, which is a little surprising, not really. But I feel like he's like going to be the wide receiver version of Bryce Harris. Like he's the first. He's by the white courtesy phone if they have an injury.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, I could also see. I mean, obviously it depends on his health. I think he just couldn't get on the field, and you know, hopefully eventually he can get healthy. But I think it's one of those things where. You know, I think they could randomly sign him even if they don't have an injury. In other words, like week six, you know, we have opponent X and they are terrible against the run. And, you know, Sean Payton thinks, man, you know,
get in there, block,
have a good blocker on the perimeter. And I could just see them sign Coleman and on a short week, get him into the game plan and incorporate his skills and, you know, and then he's cut the next week because, you know, they want to go more pass heavy or whatever. So, you know, I could see him even be like situationally signed as it fits the game plan.
If Brandon Coleman, will he be on the roster October 10th?
Yeah, probably, to be honest with you. I mean, this was just, you know, he's got an issue with his hip. He's got an issue with his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't pass the physical. And it's just a situation where he's not ready. He's not ready to be participating in practice and training camp. And I think they would rather have, you know, he's not that great where mm-hmm. you're just going to keep him around regardless. And I think that they just, you know, they would rather see another wide. They'd rather bring in another wide receiver, or give all the other wide receivers more time, and they'd rather get a look at those guys to see what they've got in them. I mean, because I think they kind of already know what they've got in Brandon Coleman. So why waste a roster spot Or why you waste that roster spot when they could sign somebody else at any other position, really. But, you know, Peyton alluded to it. This is not the last time we're going to see Brandon Coleman.
Well, I think this explains why he, you know, and not that he was anything special prior to this offseason, but I think he played well enough, you know, to get for some team to kind of gamble on a guy of his size and give him a, you know, a 2-year, $4 million deal, you know, kind of a, you know, a low level free agent deal. And, you know, I was surprised that he lasted that long in free agency with no one signing him. And then
I was too. I mean,
came back for the minimum to the Saints for 1 year. And I guess in hindsight, that was a hint maybe that
he was the Sterling Moore of 2018, Andrew. We remember with Sterling Moore, we're like, he's going to get an offer. It's like somebody will give him something. And no one ever did.
Yeah.
So the Saints play Thursday. Football is back, thank baby Jesus. Taysom Hill, I still think he's going to start. Andrew, Taysom Hill, is he going to start or not? What do you think?
I don't think he will start because I think Savage will.
Oh, God, Savage is so bad. He's so fucking, he's worse than this audio.
Yeah, but you know,
that's bad.
That is, well, I'm just saying, man. He's
Ralph, why do you have to be so hurtful, man?
I have to be hurtful because I'm
know,
angry.
I just think from everything I've read, I mean, it sounds like Savage is outperforming Hill, and I think they're going to reward him with the start.
Oh Lord, if Savage plays, my liver will die. I will have to go to dialysis. But the good news is that they have 6 dialysis places within like 4 blocks of my house, so it won't be bad.
My house.
Dave, Davenport's not practicing. Like, when do we start to panic over him not practicing? Like, when do you start going, I'm worried?
You know, I'd say it just sucks because he, you know, he's a rookie and obviously he's a raw rookie. You know, he's not going to be like a Marshawn Lattimore and Alvin Kamara where I think he's going to come in and contribute at a level like that. And I think he's a rookie, even though he's a first round pick, he needs reps and he needs to be practicing and playing and getting those reps, those meaningful reps.
When's the turning point, though, Andrew?
He's like, obviously not getting it. I would say, I mean, you know, I don't know, by week 3 of the preseason, I'd say. I mean, if you've missed the first 2 games and you haven't been practicing during that time either, I think that's where you could start to worry, you know, and depending on the severity of the injury, then, you know, you could start thinking, well, maybe they're going to put him on IR or whatever.
Oh, Lord. First 6 weeks.
So, it would be disappointing because
of the preseason.
Yeah, of the preseason. I mean, and it would be disappointing because, you know, again, I don't think that we should expect, you know, him to just come in and light it up his rookie year, even though he's a first round draft pick. I mean, that was never his thing. Nobody ever said, yeah, this is a guy that's going to come in and transform your defense instantaneously. The reports, you know, and the belief was always that he's a raw project who's going to take a little while.
You got to play. He's got to play.
I think for year one, your hopes and expectations were that he would play most of the season and be healthy, and that he would, you know, he would show flashes here and there enough to say, okay, year two, you know, he needs to take that and just take it to the next level and kick it up. But if he's not even playing, you know, then you've really lost a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they need him like to get reps, Andrew. You know, what did we say about when Stanley Jean-Baptiste, why we knew he was terrible? Because the Saints were desperate at cornerback and he wasn't playing, right?
I saw him get a 15-yard penalty and get yanked out of the game on Thursday night. Did you guys see that
in the Hall of Fame game?
He was playing for the Ravens. He got a personal foul after the play and the coaches pulled him.
Nice. I can't believe he's still getting checks. Like, his physical ability must be like perfume to football coaches. Like, they just, like, he just walks in the room and they just, like, can't resist it. It's the fucking, it's the most craziest thing. So another guy that just, like, the media is just gushing over him is Anzalone. I just had to mention Anzalone because I wanted to play the Mario Brothers theme. But he's going to be,
how,
like,
does that even apply? Is it like an Italian thing?
Yeah, I guess so. I just, okay. But he's going to be like,
that's the, a stretch, Ralph.
It's a stretch. But
as an Italian American, Ralph, I am very offended by this. I mean, you just think all Italians are plumbers or have vowels on the end of their names. I mean, this is bullshit. This is,
I could have. Would you prefer the Godfather theme, which you've never seen? I could have played the Godfather.
Oh, man. Dave, your first and last name end with vowels.
Not my first name. No, my last. Yeah.
So,
well, Dave. That's not really
Dave.
Well, David is my official birth name.
Yeah, with an E at the end.
Davide.
But, like, what, because the starters aren't going to play hardly at all Thursday, like, maybe a series. So, like, Andrew, what are you?
Well, I mean, you know, you go based on history, I think, and Sean Payton's a creature of habit, and, you know, I think, at least with the Saints, we have the luxury of a regime that's been in place for a long time, so you can start to see patterns and, you know, pay attention to what they've done in previous years and have a pretty good sense that they're going to stick to the plan. You know, last year, first game of the season, Chase Daniel started. I think he did two series, I want to say. And then it was Nassib and then Garrett Grayson the rest of the game. So what I think we'll see, and, you know, I'm not sure between Hill and Savage who starts. I mean, if I had to guess right now, I would guess Savage. But one of those two will start. And I think, unlike last year, I think last year the Saints were pretty confident that Chase Daniel was going to be the backup. And what they really wanted to do was see a lot of Grayson and Nassib. Well, this year, I think it's different. I think they actually want to see a ton of all three guys they have. And really, maybe JT Barrett a little bit less, because I think
Chase,
we all know that Barrett's kind of at a bad camp, and he's probably not making the team.
Chase,
so I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Savage and Hill.
Chase Daniel is an American hero because he's made $34 million and he's completed like six NFL passes.
Yeah, I did the math. It was like over $300,000 per pass.
I think it was like 78 passes.
That is ridiculous. I mean, like, the thing is, like, teams didn't even sign him to be like the starting quarterback. They just sign him as the backup, and they give him ridiculous amounts of money.
There was one team that, like, kind of...
The Chiefs?
Yeah, they signed him and Smith, but, like, this is before Alex Smith became really good. And I think it was kind of like, one of you is going to be the starter. But, like, he had a fair shot at it.
Mm. He's made so much money, though. He's my hero. He's a legend at the bank, is what he is.
Oh, yeah. Whoever his agent is... I mean, he should get direct entry into the Hall of Fame.
Do they have an agent Hall of Fame?
No, I'm just saying the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah. I mean, if coaches get in, I mean, what this guy has done is so extraordinary.
They can just play dollar bills, y'all, and just drop money.
I mean,
this guy
Matt Flynn's agent is jealous of Chase Daniel.
That is, you are not kidding. Here's the thing. We are debuting a new segment this week that we call Juge's Judgment. So, all rise for Juge's Judgments. And it's going to be, what it is it's five super smoking hot takes that Andrew has regarding the Saints and other things. And he's going to deliver them, and me and Dave are going to argue with him. And I love this segment because I get to play the People's Court theme, and I get to do this. So, Andrew, go right ahead and start out with Juge's Judgments.
All right, well, I've got kind of five things that I think, coming into the season. And the first thought that I have is I'm going to go ahead and make the statement that I believe Teron Armstead will play 16 games this season.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I just feel like, you know, he's had some bad luck. He has tried really hard to get himself healthy. He's gone to Germany. He's done all these unconventional methods for getting his body healthy. And I want to believe that he's finally found the right combination. You know, all the reports are that he looks as good as he's looked in a really long time. He's saying he's feeling healthy. And I just think he's due. I mean, I remember Zach Strief 2 years ago, kind of out of nowhere, had the best year of his career. Armstead's never had a 16-game season. And, you know, I could be wrong, and, you know, it could be another year where he's banged up all the time, but I think he's due. And so I'm making that prediction, 16 games this year.
You sound like me. You sound like when you described Armstead's offseason, it's like you described me with audio. He's tried different things. He did this. He went to a specialist. He went to a shaman. He prayed. That's right. And none of it's going to work.
And look where we're, and look where we've ended up.
It's not wrong. It's sad. It's sad, really. So what's the?
I didn't know this was called Juge's delusional judgments.
Number two, I believe that Boston Scott will score at least two touchdowns during the time Mark Ingram is suspended.
I'm down with this. I see the Boston Scott video clips on the Twitters, and I'm totally down with this, Andrew. I think
were you at Yulman Stadium, Dave?
No, I didn't go. We moved this weekend. We were settling into the house, so we had too much going on this weekend.
Yeah,
otherwise I would have been there.
Not your neck of the woods anymore.
I know it's funny because I didn't think about that before we moved, and just this on yesterday I was like, oh wait a minute, I can't just ride my bike to.
Now you're hanging on Pontiff Playground.
I'm gonna have to drive to Yulman and park in the neighborhood.
I think Boston Scott's gonna do so awesome on Thursday that Sean Payton is going to be in his press conference. He's going to be like, yeah, he missed the blitz pickup. He busted a play and blah. Like, he's going to like try to cool the what do they say that he always uses the word, don't put the anointing oils on him. Like, Peyton's going to try to like throw cold water on it, cause he's just going to have an awesome game, and he's going to have three features on him by Saturday in the Advocate, the Times-Picayune, and other sites. Like, he's going to just be, it's going to be Boston Scott 24/7 next week. That's my prediction.
I think he will use the same quote he used for Kamara last year during preseason, which is at some point he's just going to stop playing him because he's going to say, yeah, we've seen enough.
I hope. Do you realize how awesome that would be? That meaning the Saints would be three deep at running back. God, that would be.
Oh, yeah, it'd be beautiful.
The only thing better.
You're going to start playing Boston, the music of Boston on the podcast.
All right, order in the court. Order in the court.
Sorry.
So, number three, I predict that the highest rated Saints offensive player for the season will be Ryan Ramczyk. He'll be rated ahead of Breeze, Michael Thomas, and Kamara.
Wow.
So far, this is on Pro Football Focus. Right. So
then
far,
what you're saying,
the most believable.
Then Andrew, what you're saying is, you're saying Armstead's going to play 16 game and Ramczyk's going to be higher rated than Breeze and Thomas. Basically, you're saying the Saints are going to have the best pair of tackles in the NFL, and it's not going to be close.
Yes. I'm not. That's not to say that Kamara, Thomas.
I feel like
Breeze,
I'm taking crazy pills.
I don't think they're going to have bad seasons. I just think Ramczyk is kind of a dark horse for me. You know, I mean, Pro Football Focus plays favorites. They have their guys that they think are amazing that, you know, kind of it's always under the radar. And I think this year Ramczyk is just going to be incredibly efficient at his position.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think Ramchek's going to be a guy that's going to play like 12, 13 years and be, he's just going to be really good. And people are going to be like, why did he go 32? you know, which is it's interesting because offensive line play in the NFL is so bad, and he came from a school that played when it was one of the few colleges left that plays a pro style offense, and yet teams still didn't take him. It must have been the hip thing, but I like that take. So Andrew, what's next?
All right. Well, this was fun in games. You know, some of it was tongue in cheek. Some of it I kind of believe. But it's time to get serious now. And you know, I've got one that's pretty, I think, spot on here, and I'm pretty confident this will happen. I believe that the day of the opener, of the season opener during the regular season, Rita Benson LeBlanc will take out a full page ad out of the Advocate. And she will publicly air dirty laundry, launching a full smear campaign of Gale. All right? At this point, will have no choice but to retort by leaking information about how many assistants Rita fired during her time with the Saints. And this will kind of start a long public season-long volley situation where each camp is trying to one-up each other.
I gotta barbecue your ass in my lessons!
And this will all culminate in Gale finally breaking and deciding to use her secret weapon, which is none other than the King Cake Baby.
That is it.
And she will use the King Cake Baby to both terrorize and ruin any and all Rita public appearances for the rest of the season.
If Gale threatened me with the King Cake Baby, I'd be like, I'm off. Whatever you need, because the King Cake Baby is frightening. Like, people are like, the King Cake Baby got nominated as...
It's the ace in the hole. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the ace in the hole.
Yeah, like, he's the scariest mascot in the universe. Like, if there's a scarier sports mascot than King Cake Baby, I have yet to meet him.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what was the guy during Bounty Gate? The guy, was it Cirullo that blew the whistle on everything? Yeah. So, you know, Cirullo, you know, when he was being interviewed by the NFL, you know, he said that he wanted protection and he didn't want his name revealed because he was afraid of what the Saints could do to him. And there were some implications that, like, they might actually pay someone to have him killed or, you know, I mean, I don't think he was that straight. You know, he didn't say it that clearly, but I think there were some implications there that the Saints may had ways of making him shut up or making him go away. But no mention of the King Cake Baby. I mean, why would you ever pay a hitman or do anything when you could just stick the King Cake Baby on someone?
I mean, Dave, would there be anything more frightening in life? Like, if you like wake up in
That's
the night,
Gary Holden.
If you wake up in the night and you look out your bedroom window and like King Cake Baby's head slowly rises and is in your window, is there, like, I couldn't think of anything more scary than that at like 3 a.m.
No, yeah, you're right. Wasn't
I mean, I'm shitting my pants just looking at my Twitter feed and seeing a picture of him.
There's a movie I was just watching last night or the night before called Happy Death Day, and they're actually making a
starring the King Cake Baby.
Yes.
Oh, like, my goodness.
It's actually filmed in New Orleans. It's filmed a lot at like Loyola and Uptown. And they're actually filming the sequel, and I was actually on set of the sequel maybe like 3 months ago.
It's going straight to beta.
And no, apparently, like, it did really well. It made a lot of money. It was kind of like a cult favorite, and it made a whole bunch of money, and it was very cheap to make. So they're making a second one. But from what I saw of the first one, the killer wears, it looks almost exactly like the King Cake Baby mask. I'm telling you, Happy Death Day.
Copyright infringement.
Well, I'm Googling it right now. But they stole that mask, and they used it for their... I'm telling you.
This is why people listen to this podcast and put up with terrible audio for nuggets like that, Dave.
See, Dave, it's not fiction. It's based
it's
on a true story.
It's real.
Yeah, okay. If I'm doing it right now, if you Google Happy Death Day and you go to images, there it is. It's freaking me out, man. It looks like they actually took that mascot. I mean, I wonder if like the Pelicans had to like sign off on this.
Oh God, yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. But it's the king cake baby with the hood on. He's like wearing a hoodie.
It's like they just took the king cake baby's head. But it's like on a regular person's body, though.
You can't see his crown because the hoodie is covering his crown.
Anyway, so that was
You don't know that it's the king cake baby. It could just be his evil twin,
son of king cake baby. So that
this really does look like the king cake baby.
So that concludes.
No, I got one more.
Oh, you got one more. Oh yeah, you got the best one still to come. My apology.
Yeah.
All rise for the best one.
And certainly not least, Sean Payton is going to have one game circled on his calendar this year, and it's November 11th against the Rams.
That's my birthday.
What's that?
That's my birthday.
Yeah, well, he's going to celebrate your birthday, Dave, by doing the following. He's going to be in peak level troll mode. He will spend the entire game pumping the ball to only Tommy Lee Lewis and Boston Scott the whole game. And it's going to be in an effort to make sure they each individually outperform Brandon Cooks statistically. It will forever be referred to as the midget game. And the game will end with Sean Payton pointing at Brandon Cooks and laughing in his face that two smaller players in his offense put up better stats than he did.
That's insane.
The only negative, the only downside to all this is that following this, in the post-game locker room interviews, Michael Thomas will then complain that he's not seeing the ball enough.
And they'll ship him off to Kansas City for a first and a third next offseason.
Yeah.
I like that one. I like that a lot. I have to say...
Wait a minute. I shit you not. I'm not even kidding. I was scrolling through Facebook while we were talking, and WDSU has a story on their website from August 3rd. That was what, Friday?
Yeah.
So this news is about a week old. The King Cake Baby was officially named the creepiest mascot. I swear to you, on August 1st, now this news wrote an article. I mean, this is, you know, just silly. This isn't technically news, but they wrote an article, and they ranked the creepiest mascot.
Who was number two?
I don't know. It looks like it's a video.
I'm telling you, man, it's Gail's secret weapon. She's taking
stock of it. Saying the King Cake Baby is the creepiest mascot, that's like saying I'm the drunkest, crippledest Saints host of a podcast. I mean, you know, it's like saying today's Monday. Is it obvious? But who's number two? Like, I want to know, like...
Hold on, I'm watching it right now.
Did you guys see the old Pelican before they redid its face?
Yeah, it was not good.
The old Pelican...
Number two is Boltman, the San Diego Chargers.
Oh.
Really?
King
Cake, not remotely scary.
King Cake Baby would cut Boltman's nuts off and eat them for breakfast, man. Scary at all, man. The weird thing is the King Cake Baby. Like they told the guy to make King Cake Baby creepy. They like that's what they wanted.
Number three is the Stanford Tree.
King Cake Baby.
Did Boltman even make it to L.A.? Did he?
I don't know.
King Cake Baby would pee on Stanford Tree and then put him in the mulch machine.
Stanford Tree kind of looks like old Greg. I never really knew what Stanford Tree was, but I just Google imaged it, and I'm getting a little bit of an old Greg vibe.
Before we get to Twitter questions, I want to say... Can you think?
I cannot believe that we saw that article literally while we were talking about it. That is so wild.
Because I could
it
talk.
Destiny.
I was thinking of, like, who's the ugliest Saints player in the history of the franchise? Because King Cake Baby is ugly. Who's just
Joel Schmenge?
Oh, he was ugly. He was ugly as sin. But
Jeff Charleston.
I don't remember him. I'll tell you who looks... He didn't look bad when he was with the Saints, but prison has aged he who should not be named by like 50 years. That dude looks terrible, and I couldn't be happier, but I'm telling you, man, prison, it ages you, man. He looked fucking bad. He looked gaunt. He looked like a like a African child in need of a meal if that African child was 55.
This conversation makes me think of do you guys remember the tennis player Petra Korda?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but my dad would always refer whenever his name or he would come up in any capacity. My dad would always refer to him as the ugliest tennis player of all time.
Dave,
you don't have any nominees for ugliest Saints player? Joel Schmenge is currently the one to top.
Joel Schmenge was ugly.
Of all time?
Yeah.
How did that guy look after he got hit with a sack full of quarters?
Cam Cleveland, yeah, he was pretty ugly prior to being hit in the face.
That's a good one, too. There's an offensive lineman in the Jim Mora era that I can't think of. Tootie Robbins? Somebody had really bad teeth. Oh, man.
Your name is 2D Robbins, and then you're also ugly on top of it? That sucks, dude.
But, Dave, in my Channel 4 column today, I name-dropped you.
What?
Yeah, your greatest preseason moment of Taysom Hill to Tre'Quan Smith. So I was thinking, like, what's been the greatest preseason moment of, like, the last 10, 12 years of the Saints? I was thinking Reggie Bush on the run against Tennessee where he went one way and cut the other way. But is there any, like, what's been the, like, greatest preseason moment of the last that you can remember, Andrew?
Like one particular
thing? Yeah, play? Just, like, one particular thing or game that you were like, oh, that's awesome. And, it like, you remember
all
it.
Of Adrian, I was going to say all of Adrian Arrington's work. his entire catalog of work.
Andrew?
Didn't we have a special teams touchdown a few years ago on a kick return or a punt return? Yeah,
they had a guy, he made the roster and then blew out his knee. Harper or I can't
yes, remember. Yes, Rod Harper.
Rod Harper, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I would say his punt return for a touchdown. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
And Kamar last year was awesome.
Joe
Morgan too. Yeah. So I just think the Taysom Hill to Tre'Quan Smith could be phenomenal. So all right, let's get to questions. This is from Dylan. Should the Saints offer New England a junk bond package of wide receivers in a trade for tight end Dwayne Allen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the Saints tight ends right now, and they're all hurt.
No, I think that some of them came back to practice today, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with who, man. I mean, he's kind of approaching Brandon Coleman territory if he can't get on the field soon.
Dwayne Allen is terrible. They ought to just – if it comes down to it, play the dude that Nick Underhill and all the writers are writing about that they converted to wide receiver. Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Arnold.
Oh, yeah, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, just play him. I mean, like, they could – the thing is, like, they could play him at – they can split him out and they can play John Phillips.
Is he tight end or receiver? He's tight end, right?
He's a tight end.
He was a receiver.
He was a receiver, though. They moved him and told him to, like, gain.
He can't block at all.
But, dude, Jimmy Graham never blocked his – he's never made a block his entire life. I mean, trap game, Dave. What on the Saints schedule do you think is a trap game? And I don't have to go the whole schedule. Just go first month.
I'm waiting for the Admiral Akbar sound effect.
I don't have that. It's a trap.
We got that cue. Oh, that was better. Never mind. honestly, the Buccaneers game.
Dude, right, if the they lose to Ryan Fitzmagic at
there
home.
There you go. See, that's a trap right there.
Oh, my God.
Off to a slow start. It would be miserable.
These are some good questions. Bigger total, Marcus Williams interceptions or Mark Ingram touchdowns, Andrew?
Say again?
Bigger number, Marcus Williams interceptions or Mark Ingram touchdowns?
Don't you be dissing on my boyfriend.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be Ingram.
Don't you be hating on my boyfriend.
Wow.
I mean, Marcus Williams, I know this might make people crazy, and especially like the national media and other people because of the play against Minnesota. I think he's going to be a top three safety in the NFL by the middle of this year. Like, he is fucking unbelievably good, you know? And if the Saints have a pass rush, he could get into the 7-8 interception range, which is just ridiculous.
How many did Sharper have in 2009?
Nine. I mean, Sharper was crazy. Sharper, like, the last, like, 5 or 6 weeks, it was not as many because his knee went. With the new kickoff, this is from Jacob, with the new kickoff rules, Andrew, implied to favor a return team, do Kamara's chances of return duty increase have proven to be a true weapon throughout the year?
No. I think, you know, it's one thing when you've got Ingram as a starter and you've got Adrian Peterson on the team and you're looking for ways, creative ways to get the ball in a playmaker's hands. He's going to be the starter, especially with Ingram out. There's going to be plenty of opportunity to get the ball in his hands. They're not going to be taking risks like that. I mean, I could see him doing returns in a critical stage of an important game, you know, if playoffs are on the line or something like that. But no, there's no way these first 4 weeks that he's returning kicks, I think.
This is from Bijan. Dave F.
Here we go with your racist music.
I know. If Anzalone plays all 16 games, is the 2017 Saints draft the greatest draft in NFL history?
Okay, first of all, Anzalone, maybe.
Anzalone.
I mean, you could only make that argument assuming Lattimore, Ramchek, Kamara, and all those guys continue to play at their level.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden Anzalone starts playing well, but Kamara starts shitting the bed, well then, you know, then
he does not. Oh no,
it's evened out.
No, this is an actual football question from Don Takana, which is stunning.
Takano.
Yeah, Andrew, which draft pick will be redshirted, not named Rick Leonard? I don't think they're going to redshirt Leonard. I think he's going to be the Zach Strief guy. He's going to be tackle-eligible, dude.
No, that'll be Bushrod, man.
So who's going to get...
So who's the redshirt guy?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Will
Gave
her the clap.
I think Clapp might be practice squad, man. I think they could sneak
Will
in.
Will Clapp, the gift that keeps on giving. Will
Dave, this is from CB. Does Davenport start the season starting if he can get healthy this week? Dave?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okafor seems back, man.
Yeah, I hate when we're talking about starters or, you know, starting or whatever. Like, it's a rotational thing. Like, it doesn't, like, just because you are the guy that's announced when you're running out of the locker room before the game, I mean, there's little to that. You could wind up playing less snaps than the guy behind you. Depending on how the game goes and how things go, but
I think the key with Davenport is if he gets healthy and he plays during the year. If he's not playing on third down, Andrew, then I'll be worried. It's not whether he's starting or how much he's playing, but if he's not playing on like 30-35% of the snaps when they're in third down and pass rushing, that means like Kikaha or Muhammad is ahead of him, and that's bad.
Well, I got a question. Speaking of Kikaha, does he make the team?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say no, and they trade him. I think they swap him out for like a 6 or 7. Here's the thing, though. Like, people are.
What,
I hear from
people. Somebody's going to trade for him?
I hear that Muhammad is bad at practice. Like, that's what I've seen a couple of media people say that.
Well, I mean, everybody's been saying that Trey Hendrickson has been. Terrible. Outplaying Muhammad.
Tearing it up. I like Trey Anderson a lot. He was coming on last year. I made fun of him because I didn't think he'd have like 5 sacks like people said. But he, like his second year, I think he could get to that. Like he could be a 4 or 5 sack guy.
Yeah, he's I think Hendrickson's going to be sneaky good this year.
He's like
sneaky.
Because the draft was so good, like I feel like he's the one that's forgotten the most because Anzalone played and got hurt, and Muhammad was so good in the preseason. Like Hendrickson was just a dude like Onyemata the year before that just played a bunch, but then got hurt. And people kind of forget about him, you know?
I think his ceiling is Anthony Hargrove.
Ooh,
a little Hargrove-ish season.
If they got 5.5 sacks out of him, man, this defense could kill people. So look, that about wraps it up for today. People that are in the fantasy league, pay your dues. People that are in the fantasy league, and just to recap, look, donate $1. You get all the 2019 drunk histories. You get all the quick shots, and if we get to $300 a month, you get that extra podcast for being a patron. All we ask for is $1. If you can give more, we'd love to have more, but all we ask for you is $1, you know?
Yep. In fact, Ralph and myself are going to do a pregame before the Jaguars preseason game on Thursday, so we're going to do a quick shot pregame of that. So
yep.
If you want to listen to that, donate your $1 quickly.
Yes, right. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Like our YouTube channel.